Welcome to AM Best Audio.
The insurance marketplace continues to see some fluctuation amongst industries, with some markets experiencing favorable underwriting and competitive rate environments, and others facing a demanding market. I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio, and I'm speaking today to Mark Bernacki, Chief Underwriting Officer at Amwins. Mark, so glad you could join us today.
Thanks, John. Extremely pleased to be here, so thanks for the opportunity.
So, Mark, let's start out. You, along with the rest of the country, watched President Biden's State of the Union address the other night. Was there anything that stood out to you as it pertains to the insurance industry?
Well, John, I guess I'd say the first thing that stood out to me is I'm not sure I'm personally ready for another election year, but I guess it's here and it's indeed upon us.
Yeah.
In terms of the P&C element, I've got to say, John, you know, nothing really jumped that significantly out to me. You know, when I think about our industry, there continues to be plenty of private capital in the market. Obviously, then, you know, no immediate need for government involvement. And when I think of more, you know, government involvement in insurance, and specifically the example that they had around flood, which hasn't been a great success, you know, long may the private markets, you know, kind of run and drive our industry.
Right. Now, the president talked about prescription drug prices. With that in mind, how do you expect medical inflation will change in 2024 and the impact on a number of specialty drugs entering the market?
Yeah, John, that is a great point. I guess my earlier comments were more designed toward the P&C kind of insurance spectrum. We at Amwins, we do have a very significant benefits business and obviously then pay very close attention to medical cost inflation. You know, we've seen ourselves go through a slowing period over the last kind of, you know, several years in terms of medical cost inflation rates. But that trend we've seen reverse itself over the last 2 years specifically. And as we're looking, you know, kind of ahead into what we expect to happen in 2024, we're expecting medical inflation to be around 7%. To the second part of your question in terms of specialty drugs, I think that's been a big driver of some of that medical cost inflation. So pharmaceutical costs tied to those drugs has, you know, really driven it. And specifically, I would highlight some of the drug work that's happened in the gene and the cell kind of therapy drugs. You know, while very expensive to produce, you know, they are providing some great benefits for some individuals with some very specialized health issues.
Now, keeping with the theme of politics, the president's speech was rather fiery, to say the least. Are there concerns that this year's presidential election will disrupt financial markets?
I'd say, first off, fiery is an excellent characterization of what I watched. And I've got to say, I was even surprised at the vigor that was put out in the speech. To your query, you know, any election year, you know, has the potential to bring volatility to the markets. But I'd make two unique observations to this election year and the candidates. First off, I think the markets are already expecting the election to be heated with continued polarization throughout the country. And secondly, you know, both Trump and Biden have been previous presidents. Therefore, they're known commodities to the market, and the markets know what to expect from each of them. And since the market is usually driven more by uncertainty is what really drives the volatility in it, I'm not as worried about this election year causing significant volatility in the markets. Frankly, what I'm more worried about when I think about the financial markets is some of the current geopolitical issues that are impacting us, you know, and whether that be Ukraine and the ultimate resolution there, what we're seeing transpire in the Middle East, and also some of the things that are brewing out in China and in Taiwan.
Now, shifting gears, let's talk about modeling. Any thoughts on the impact of the RMS model?
You know, good question, John, and very timely. And the reason that I say that is, frankly, my response to this question would have been different 6 weeks ago than it is today. So let me maybe start off with where I was, you know, 6 weeks ago. RMS 23, that announcement came out in the latter part of Q3 of last year. And RMS 23 talked about, you know, updated vulnerability curves, you know, more model-loaded loss for both water intrusion and wind-driven rain, and an update in terms of the medium-term frequencies. For the Southeast and the Gulf, this had the potential to raise PMLs in excess of 30% in some areas. So at that point in time, as I was hearing that, and even if you assume that the industry kind of keeps their risk appetite flat, a 30% increase in PML rates has the potential to pull out circa 25% of the market's capacity. And at that time, was still an extremely dislocated property cat market. So quite frankly, I was really worried about the impact. However, you know, as we jump kind of 6 weeks ahead and now even looking in terms of what's happened on March 1st renewals, some of the stabilization and even softening that we're seeing in the property market and specifically the property cat market is subduing some of the impact of what I think RMS 23 at least was going to originally provide to the market. So in terms of property and the modeling impact, I think it's going to be less so than originally envisioned. And I'm not describing looking forward thinking of significant softening, but there's definitely going to be a higher degree of stabilization in the property market as we look forward to 2024 and beyond. And I guess the beyond comment, one could almost say, depends upon what sort of a storm season we have this year. After kind of a clean year last year, markets seem, you know, hungry for high margin business.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Are you surprised at that stabilization, Mark?
I guess, John, I'd almost have to say that I am, because I didn't expect it when we were still in Q3 and even Q4 of last year. And I think the biggest surprise to me would really probably be the market's hungriness for this cat risk literally over the past 2-4 to 6 week period. And I think Lloyd's has been a big driver in it, because this is one of the first years that Lloyd's has allowed the syndicates, both from an open market perspective, DNF, as well as delegated, to grow. And I think that the markets are taking advantage of that. I think property now is kind of in the context that it is reasonably priced. I can say over the course of my 30-year career, these are the most attractive property rates that I've seen. But if you look back over the past 7 years, you know, with the exception of last year, it's been a difficult run for property players. So yes, I'm surprised. I think stabilization would be good. I would be extremely disappointed, though, in the underwriting community, though, if they start giving back significant rate.
Let's talk a little bit about the UAEs, Mark. What is it that you find that your carrier partners are looking for in delegated underwriting authority enterprises?
Well, I guess I'd say first and foremost, and this might be stating the obvious, but some, you know, delegated underwriters forget this at times. Number one is sustainable underwriting profit. Otherwise, they're not going to delegate and they're not going to have capital and capacity from a long-term perspective.
How about that?
Number two, you know, really what attracts capital to this space is niche underwriting expertise. So I think, again, differentiating yourself in terms of your individual, whether it is line of business or, you know, kind of client segment approach is imperative. Third, I'd add, and now this is just a general expectation of the market because the delegated market has grown up significantly over the past couple of decades. Everybody now expects a sound control environment and the ability to evidence that control environment. And last, but certainly not least, I'd highlight, you know, kind of data and analytics and immediate access to that data. And John, here I almost need to kind of pause and compliment as well some of the work that AM Best is doing with their dual approach and the performance assessments tied to that. I think that that's an excellent means to enable delegated underwriting entities to differentiate themselves in the market with third-party attestation in terms of the quality of both their underwriting and their control environment.
I want to dig a little bit deeper into that differentiating yourselves. Are there ways or best practices for DUAEs to differentiate themselves or distinguish themselves to their carrier partners?
I guess I'd highlight two things. I think first and foremost, I would emphasize the element of the control environment around there. Being able to differentiate yourself in terms of proper and complete underwriting controls in a uniform and a consistent way across your businesses is imperative. And when I think of underwriting at AmWinds, we have now $5.5 billion in total gross written premium that we underwrite on a delegated basis across 100 plus programs and 500 plus underwriters. So us really evidencing that in such a way that we can show consistency around it, I think is extremely important, especially because now the way that we're building capital and capacity is we're doing it across programs in more of kind of a portfolio-tized way rather than individual programs. And secondly, I think I would almost highlight the need for transparency. And I guess it ties to my earlier comment on data. Transparency in the delegated market is imperative. And in fact, I'm often quoted as saying, you know, delegation is indeed a relationship of intimacy. Having full and complete transparency along with immediate access to data really gets carrier partners over the hurdle of handing their pen out to another third party.
Yeah, you stole my thunder there. I was going to ask how important is transparency, how much of that is part of the equation, but obviously it's imperative.
Yeah, and you know, tied to that transparency, it's also timing. You know, some people, you know, when other folks earlier would kind of lose favor with the delegated market, a lot of it was because of that lack of transparency and then the data lag coming in and the fact that they couldn't react quick enough to what they were seeing in that delegated underwriter. But now, you know, thanks to better data and analytics as well as immediate kind of data feeds, you know, a delegated underwriter can get back to their carrier partners literally with immediate feedback in terms of market conditions, quote, buying submission ratios and loss ratio development. So I do think, you know, that has been extremely good for the delegated segment.
I got to believe it's got to be good news for the MGAs and the MGUs.
And frankly, John, I'd even say for the P&C industry collectively, you know, when you think about growth across P&C, you know, the P&C market continues to grow strongly. E&S is growing even quicker. The delegated segment is growing even quicker than that. So again, having the maturity and the control that exists in that segment today is really important as more people continue to invest in delegated underwriting.
Well, Mark, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks, John. Really appreciate it.
That was Mark Bernacki, Chief Underwriting Officer at Amwins, and I'm John Weber for AM Best Audio.
Looking to get the attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms to do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day, find out more by contacting our Advertising Services Business Development Team at 908-882-1706.